Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. We are the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we're going to be bringing you this show in English for Monday, March 10, 2025. We'll have news, sports, and music. Speaking of music, we're gonna be marking two anniversaries today. One related to a rock musician, and the other to a Uruguayan folk artist. If you wanna get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports. Today, we're going to have also the DX supplement of every week. I've got the latest edition sent to me by our DX collaborator, Arnaldo Slayen. We've translated that into English and we're going to be sharing it with you right away with interesting hearing suggestions collected by Arnaldo that are passed on to all of the languages of RAE for us to air this traditional content of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. You can also download our app for mobile devices that you can get for free, available for both Android and Apple phones. I just wanted to express our condolences to the people of Bahía Blanca that are going through one of the most difficult moments in their history. They were hit by a tremendous rainstorm last Friday that provoked floods in this city of the province of Buenos Aires that is located 600 kilometers south. The country is in shock over the tragedy that so far has left 16 dead. Two little girls are being sought for and the city is devastated. So our thoughts and those who are believers, prayers, are with the people of Bahía Blanca, with the families of the victims especially, and RAE joins this wish, this moment, expressing condolences for Bahía Blanca people. We're gonna do now the news. These are the headlines. "16 confirmed dead in Bahía Blanca floods." Massive rallies across Argentina for 8M International Women's Day. Mark Carney is the new Prime Minister of Canada. Brazil's President Lula da Silva considers measures to curb food price rises. Sports: River Plate beats Atlético Tucumán in the First Division Tournament of Argentina. And these are the news. 16 people have been confirmed dead due to floods in Bahía Blanca, Buenos Aires province. Authorities also reported around 100 people still missing and 1,000 evacuees. Several areas remain without electricity and schools will stay closed at least until Wednesday. The main bridges were destroyed by the storm, according to Bahía Blanca's municipality. In response to the tragedy, the government of Javier Milei declared 3 days of national mourning. On Friday morning, 350 millimeters of rain fell in just a few hours in the southern city located about 600 kilometers from Argentina's capital. Rivers and streams overflowed, flooding streets and neighborhoods. In the outskirts of Bahia, in the town of Cerri, search efforts continue for two little girls, aged 1 and 5, who were swept away by the current. A man died trying to rescue them, and his body was found yesterday, authorities confirmed. Meanwhile, Buenos Aires provincial police have increased security in the area amid reports of looting attempts at flooded homes and businesses. Thousands marched across Argentina on Saturday for International Women's Day, known as 8M. Feminist groups, human rights organizations, political parties, social movements, and trade unions all took part in the demonstrations. The main rally took place in Buenos Aires, where crowds marched from Congress to Plaza de Mayo. Protests included criticism of Javier Milei's government for cutting gender policies. Marches were also held in Córdoba, Rosario, Salta, Entre Ríos, Misiones, Formosa, and Río Negro, among other cities. Meanwhile, Casa Rosada released a video criticizing previous administrations for what it called symbolic policies with no real impact on reducing violence against women. It also highlighted that since Milei took office, female homicide rates have dropped by 20%. It is worth noting that both Milei and his government reject the term femicide, arguing it contradicts the principle of equality before the law. Mark Carney will be the next Prime Minister of Canada. The former governor of the Bank of Canada was elected leader of the Liberal Party and will be succeeding outgoing Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Carney won with 85.9% of the vote, defeating former Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland. The new Canadian leader addressed trade tensions with the United States, driven by President Trump's policies. "There is someone trying to weaken our economy," Carney said. "Donald Trump, as we know, has imposed unfair tariffs on what we produce, what we sell, and how we earn our livelihoods," he warned. Carney replaces Trudeau, who resigned after 9 years in office, following a decline in his approval ratings due to economic issues, housing concerns, and migration policies. The new Canadian government is expected to call for a general election in the coming weeks. In addition to his role at the Bank of Canada, Carney also chaired the Bank of England, becoming the first non-British person to hold that position since the institution was founded in the late 17th century. Brazil's President Lula da Silva has revealed he's considering measures to address rising food prices. He expressed particular concern over the cost of eggs. Speaking at an event, the president said, "I want to understand why the price of eggs is rising. Egg prices are out of control. Some say it's the heat. Others say it's exports," Lula remarked. He emphasized that the government seeks a peaceful solution, but warned that if this is not achieved, more drastic actions will be taken. As he explained, the priority is to ensure affordable food for the Brazilian people. In February, the government in Brasilia reduced import tariffs of several essential food items, including coffee, oil, sugar, sardines, and meat. And now, sports. River Plate returned to victory after last week's loss to Talleres at the International Cup. Last night, the Buenos Aires team beat Atlético Tucumán 1-0 at home. Other results from the ninth round include Banfield that lost 2-1 to Argentinos, defending champions Vélez Sarsfield that defeated San Martín de San Juan 1-0, and Boca that won 3-0 over Central Córdoba away. Racing fell 1-0 to Huracán, while Independiente beat San Lorenzo 2-1. Sarmiento and Barraca Central drew 1-1, Platense and Lanús ended goalless, and Defensa y Justicia won 1-0 over Estudiantes. Meanwhile, Tigre beat Aldo Civi of Mar del Plata 2-1, Instituto and Godoy Cruz tied 1-1, and Newell's and Belgrano drew without any goals. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
Rai, Argentine, mien xiang shi jie.
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, sekai ni mukete, Argentine.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentinian in the world.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
We gotta now pay homage to Papo, the stage name of Norberto Aníbal Napolitano, who was born exactly 75 years ago, on March 10, 1950. This is one of the most iconic rock musicians and blues musicians in the history of this country. Many consider him to be the best Argentine rock guitarist in history. A man who generated a cult following around him, who passed away in a motorbike accident in 2005. That's exactly 20 years ago. Papo was born in the neighborhood of La Paternal here in Buenos Aires, a neighborhood of which he became an icon. Now is one of the prides of La Paternal, together with the stadium of Argentinos Juniors. It's also the fact that it's the birthplace of Papo. Papo started music at a very young age. He even integrated one of the lineups of Los Gatos and also Los Abuelos de la Nada, bands that were iconic, and Papo integrated those groups, particularly given Los Gatos a very edgy, rough rock sound in some of their songs. Papo also lived in England for a time, attempting a career in music. And then he came back to Argentina in the early 1970s and started his own project called Papo's Blues, that recorded several albums, Papo's Blues Volume 1, 2, 3, so on, till number 7, I think, and even more albums than that. And he also, together with becoming a symbol of a more bluesy kind of rock sound, Papo also became an icon for Argentine hard rock / heavy metal music, because in the early 1980s, he founded another group that became a classic, Riff. Not like a guitar riff, that's the name of the band he started, and became very popular throughout the 1980s. Then Riff disbanded and Papo resumed his more bluesy kind of career throughout the 1990s and the rest of his career, reaching one of the highlights of his career was being invited by B.B. King to play at the Madison Square Garden venue in New York in the mid-1990s. And well, this is a man larger than life. He was also, and now some of his interviews on video are classic memes and footage that people look on YouTube, because he was quite a character, a very porteño, in your face, old school kind of character. another landmark Papo moment that many of his fans treasure is when he had a kind of confrontation, actually an argument, with a very famous DJ Dero on TV. A debate that resonates still today. And the question about that debate was, do DJs play music? Are DJs musicians? Or they just press play on a button and let the music roll? Well, I don't have to tell you what side Papo was on this TV show in the early 2000s, and he made fun of Dero and sent him to look for a decent job, an honest job. Go look for an honest job, implying that he couldn't call himself a musician because he was a DJ. He was just playing music that somebody else recorded. Many people sided with Dero and said that you need a musical ear to play the boards, no? To play music as a DJ. But many sided with Papo. No, you play music if you play live music. You play an instrument that you studied and you have some sense of harmony and rhythm, not just using technology. Actually called Dero an electrician that day. And people still laugh and talk about that debate. And this is one of the many, many, many moments that Papo that had Papo at the center of him. So he was a character. He was important for his music and for what he did outside music. And, well, he would have turned 75 today. Today is his birthday. And in order to honor this very important Argentine icon, not just for music but for culture, we're going to play one of his many songs. This is a personal favorite of mine. It's by Papo's Blues, but it's a very hard rock kind of song. That's called Sucio y Desprolijo, Dirty and Untidy, that carries one of the best lines in the history of Argentine rock. No cambia nada estar un poco sucio. Being dirty changes nothing if my brain is effective, if my brain works. What do you guys think about Papo and his legacy? Okay, this is it. Sucio y Desprolijo, Papo's Blues on El Carpo, that was another of his nicknames, birthday.
La apariencia no me pide.
Vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentinian in the world.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, folks, a couple of weeks, months ago, I can't remember exactly, we talked on the phone with Nicole Felter, a former, well, actually on and off, American expatriate in Argentina, who started a TikTok and Instagram account that became quite popular, Junkie in Argentina. It was a great talk with her. And back then, she told us that she was going to come over to the country during our winter, or the western, the northern hemisphere summer, and I invited her to come to the studio. And fortunately, she's now here. Huh? She has been true to her word. Welcome, Nicole.
Well, oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
No, it's a pleasure. Finally, it's always better to talk face to face.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, Nicole, you freshly arrived. Just got back to the... Well, do you say got back to Argentina? I like to say what expression you use. Return to Argentina? Do you you obviously feel partly local. What do you say? I'm returning to Argentina. I'm going to Argentina. What do you say?
No, I say I'm coming home.
I'm coming home. Wow. So what's the U.S. then?
Home, yeah. It's complicated. I think when you're a foreigner who finds your place in the world in another country, they both kind of become home.
Exactly, you know? One is your first home and then is your adopted home.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. Well, how are you feeling?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
You look elated.
No, my gosh, I feel like I could cry in every moment. I'm just so happy walking around the streets, seeing everything. Just, I'm so happy.
Great. This is the first 24 hours since you got back, and you don't look tired at all.
No. I couldn't waste any time sleeping.
Yeah. It's might be the adrenaline of the happiness. So well, one of the things I checked out, and I said this is totally spot on your social media, the fact that you announced your return and you were able to arrange a meeting on the very same day with very good attendance.
I could not believe it. It's funny. I was talking about this yesterday. How in the U.S., you know, I've been in the place where I visited the U.S. after living in Argentina, you know, so being in Argentina for a year, going back, and especially in a small town where everyone is still around. To be honest, I feel like people in smaller towns don't have as much of an agenda as people in the city do, right? Mm-hmm. Just because there's a lot more to do,
right? Of course, yeah.
And so the thing I've noticed about when I went back to the U.S. and now coming back to Argentina is, I think in the U.S., one, you have to plan ahead and let people know ahead of time that you're coming to visit, so they make space in their calendars, mm-hmm. right? To say, okay, I'll be there, let me know one day. And I've had situations where it's like one big gathering of like 20 people at once. and then you don't really see them again, maybe, right? Because it's like, okay, I did my task of visiting you while you were here. It was great to see you. I saw you the one time.
I can cross off that list and move on to the next task.
Yes, and when you visit again, I will see you again. Just let me know a month ahead of time. And it was incredible because, yeah, yesterday I didn't have any plans with my friends. I was making plans with one friend, and I said, hey, why don't we just invite everyone? So I just sent out messages at like 3:30, and I was like, does anybody want to get together tonight?
How many people showed up?
At 8:30, like 7 people.
That's a great gathering.
And they're not from the same friend group. They're all different friends. Like,
because it's a good occasion. I mean, somebody's coming back to the country, is coming to the country. You make space. You're telling me that doesn't happen in the U.S.? There is no spontaneity?
No, it's not that there isn't spontaneity. I think that there is, but I think it's a deeper level of friendship. It's like, you are coming, I want to see you, I really want to be there and be in your presence, and I will drop everything.
Yeah.
Where I think in the US it's like, okay, let me know a few weeks ahead of time so I can make sure I don't make any plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a fundamental difference. And honestly, it's just very, I was very, very excited. Like, just so happy because, you know, that's just something that never happened for me in the U.S. And so,
That's true. People drop things too. And sometimes they exaggerate with that. They exaggerate with that because you may be expecting that's all. I mean, let's talk about everything. You may be organizing something. You're counting on some friends for a football game. So suddenly a friend came from the U.S. Sorry, I had to go. It may be true. It may be false, but that happens all the time. Spontaneity works both ways, for the good and for the bad.
That's true. That's what my friend said yesterday too. He said, no, I have other plans, but nope. I said, no, I gotta drop everything.
Somebody
suffer
for somebody playing a football game or a dinner or going to a movie or something. Somebody suffered for your arrival. Well, somebody pay for that.
Well, I appreciate their suffering.
well, great. So great talking to you. Well, you spent now you're currently based in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
East Coast. I've been seeing on your account, on your Instagram account that I recommend everybody to check out. It's called Yankee in Argentina. You describe a lot of things about the U.S. to Argentines.
Mm-hmm.
No? You explain how things work. You bring down some myths that many Argentines have about what's the Northern Hemisphere life or the First World life or what. What can you tell me some of the top elements or top questions or the most interesting posts of these past few months in the U.S. for Argentines, the ones that had the most impact?
I think it's interesting getting to see it from my husband's perspective, right? Because I grew up in the U.S. So living here and people asking me things, I know that there are certain things that people wanted to know about.
Yeah.
But getting to hear things that surprised my husband was an interesting perspective for me, right? And so, like, the things that we've talked about is just the cost of living in the U.S. is so high. So high. I think when you're living in Argentina, and I think a lot of times in Latin America, people say, oh, you know, you're going to the U.S., it's going to go great, like, you're going to make so much money, there's so many opportunities. And while that can be true, it's not as easy as it seems on the outside, right? Because I think, of course, you can make a lot of money. If I was a single person and had no kids, I could, of course, have my job and then a second job. And yes, I'm making a lot of money. But I think otherwise, when you're working a full-time job, when you have kids and you have a family, it's very, very expensive. Like, now they came out to say that in the U.S. now, if you have two children in daycare, it costs more than rent or a mortgage.
The daycare.
Mm-hmm, for two kids. It's just the cost of living.
Isn't there a public option like we have here?
No. No public options. So basically, all daycares are private. You do have some that are called Head Start that are, I guess they are public, but you still have to pay. But it's a reduced cost.
Yeah.
But it's for people under a certain poverty line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
under the poverty line.
You need to be below a certain level of income to qualify for that benefit.
Correct. And so I would say, you know, like, I think that's just been really eye-opening, just throwing out some general numbers, no? Like, rent, living close to a city, can go anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a month, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then childcare can range for one child, it can be $1,200, $1,500, $1,600 a month.
Mm-hmm. What were the comments of Argentines when you were informing that?
They couldn't believe it because you have a lot more options in terms mm-hmm. of support for childcare, right? And being able to afford care outside of childcare.
Yeah. It's a series of factors and variables. I mean, you have to take everything into account when you make the equation because... From the point of view of many Argentines who idolize or think of the U.S. or Europe as a great place to go with a very solid economy, yes, they may have a lower inflation and more job opportunities. But if you add the daycare, the expensive daycare, or the very expensive rents, which in Argentina is a little more affordable, well, you have a situation in which you can really transfer your life standard. You may have some positive things. Well, everything, like everything, no?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think there are a lot of positive things about living in the U.S., and I don't want to take those things for granted.
No, of course.
But I think after living in Argentina, I just feel the culture and the style of living is just a little bit more my taste.
Yeah, yes.
But, I think also just one other thing that I wanted to say is I made friends with this Argentinian woman and she has a family and so our kids are around the same age. And we were talking about the differences between Argentina and the U.S., right? And I think something that people don't really know about is how unsafe it is in the U.S., just the crime rates. Like, these aren't things that you see in the news, right? You have to know where to find that information. Washington, D.C. is very dangerous in my perspective at this time.
How dangerous? People think that Buenos Aires is dangerous. Many people who flee Argentina, they do it because of security. I can walk without being mugged in the street, many Argentines say when they move to Spain, for example.
So I think, one, now you're starting to see, motochorros, no? So people who rob people on motorcycles, you're starting to see that in New York City.
Really?
In Washington, D.C., there's a lot of gun violence, a lot of gun violence. I just saw that a group of people...
Like robbery related, or yes. Just people fighting each other with guns?
No, there's car robberies. There's carjackings all the time. Mm. There was this one woman who had her car stolen twice from a private parking garage at her apartment building. There was a woman, and these are just things that I read online, right? There was another case of a woman who had her mother in the car. She parked outside of a hospital to go inside to the hospital to get a wheelchair. Some woman stole the car with the mother in the car, crashed, and the mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of violence in Washington, D.C. and in a lot of the major cities now. And I think that's something that people don't see, especially outside of the U.S. And so I was talking to this Argentinian woman, and we were talking about the differences in terms of security, right, in Argentina and the U.S. And obviously it depends where you are. In certain parts of Argentina, it is more dangerous, right? But generally, I think the one thing we came up with is Argentina is more insecure in terms of maybe getting your phone stolen, right? Like maybe somebody breaking into your apartment when you're not there type of thing. The U.S. is dangerous.
Okay.
You don't know who has a gun, number one.
Of course. That's a key difference.
You don't know who has a gun. I think there's a really big problem with mental health. There's a really big problem with the homeless population at this time, right? Mm-hmm. I think these issues were exacerbated during COVID. And those combinations, and drugs, right? The mm-hmm. access of drugs. You can find certain accounts where you can see places like Kensington, Pennsylvania, Skid Row in Los Angeles. If you look these places up, it's bad. These mm-hmm. are people, they're just towns with people who are mentally ill, need help, access to drugs. Yeah. It's very dangerous, you know?
Yeah. Well, there are all kinds of situations everywhere.
Of course.
Yeah, but obviously from the outside, you just focus on what you're after mainly, isn't it?
No, of course. But that's kind of why in my account I talk about those certain things, because I think it's important for people to know.
Yeah, of course.
Not everything that glitters is gold.
Exactly. Well, let's move to another subject that you master. We're going to switch now, folks, a little bit to Spanish, because I want Nicole to give a demonstration of how well she masters Argentine Spanish. Bueno, vamos a hablar un poquito en castellano, cara a cara, como si fuese mostrando lo que sos.
Dale, perfecto.
Ahí está. A ver, decime lo más porteño que te pueda salir ahora.
I know.
Muchas palabras con llave, con ye.
Ok. Ahora me puse nerviosa. Bueno, le cuento un poquito. Ayer estaba caminando por la calle, me pasé por el edificio anterior donde vivía, hablaba con el portero, nos saludamos, ¿viste?
Okay. That's enough for the demonstration. Later on, she'll be on the Spanish show. But I can tell you as an Argentine that she sounds... Like a local, not like an Argentine, like a porteño. And I want to know, because Rio Platense porteño, which is this type of Spanish that Nicole and I speak, is very particular, and it's got that sh sound for the Y and the double L. How long it took you to master the porteño Spanish? Was it from hearing other people? You paid extra attention? Because I've known a lot of people, a lot of expats who lived here for a long time, and they do not speak the Rio Platense Spanish you do. Like, you really looked for it, no?
Oh my God, I'm flattered. Yeah, so I think having grown up, I had a babysitter. She was from Puerto Rico, right? And they spoke Spanish in the home, and I think that helped. Being around that, not that I was really speaking Spanish at that time. And when I came to Argentina, I thought I knew more Spanish than I did. And I was very surprised when I couldn't communicate at all. So I think growing up there, that helped me, like, have the ability to adapt to the language. But I think just wanting to, right? Like, I always wanted to learn Spanish because growing up with them, I was like, oh my God, I want to learn Spanish. So it was always my number one objective. I think also having a husband who's Argentinian and we only spoke Spanish.
Of course.
That obviously was huge in helping. But I think in perfecting it, for me, like, my number one tip is just don't be nervous, right? Don't be scared. I say things wrong all the time. Yeah, sometimes I'm just guessing words, and when nobody corrects me, I say, oh, that was right. No? So I think...
That's a great tip, yeah.
Yeah, so I
it
just...
It applies for everything, not just for learning language. Don't
no,
be afraid
of
making mistakes. Otherwise, how can you learn?
Right. And so I think that's been my biggest thing. Like, I just don't really focus on, am I saying this right or wrong? Because people usually correct me, or they don't, and then they laugh, and I'm like, okay. So, but no, I feel very grateful because it feels very good. Especially being in the U.S., people are like, oh, you're Argentinian? And I'm like, yes.
Yes,
I am.
I made it.
I made it.
And speaking of that, you've also become an Argentine citizen.
Yes.
How was that? I mean, I never asked somebody, how is it to become an Argentine? Is it a difficult process? Does it take long?
Oh my gosh, I'm like tearing up just because it was so special for me to be able to kind of like... have full circle moment, no? Be in Argentina, love Argentina, really feel part of the culture, and then to get citizenship and be like, it's real, no? The process, so we started during the pandemic, like mm-hmm. towards the end of the pandemic.
You were already married to yes. your Argentine husband.
Yes. Yes. So I got my permanent residency in 2018. And then I think we started applying 2021, end of 2021. I think the rule is you have to be a permanent citizen or permanent resident for like 2 years mm-hmm. and then you can apply for citizenship.
2 years of residency and then you can apply for citizenship.
I think, to be honest, my husband did everything for me with this. So I left you on the paperwork. But I know I needed, obviously, you know, background check, all of those sort of papers that you need, birth certificate, all that. But I think what was kind of surprising was when I applied for my citizenship, I had to go to a local newspaper of the judge's choosing, which was Página 12, and I had to put like an announcement that I was applying for citizenship. So I guess at that point, if somebody wanted to contest me applying, they could tell them I shouldn't become a citizen for XYZ reason. And then once that happened, yeah, then it moved forward from there. I got my letter of citizenship during the World Cup time. So that was really exciting.
Wow, that's extra emotional.
Yes. And then we were at that point we knew we were leaving and we were trying to figure out when I could do like the ceremony to swear in my citizenship, right? To sign everything and do everything else. And so we were pushing, and then we ended up getting the day after the World Cup to
after
swear.
After which day of the World Cup?
When we
the final.
The final.
Amazing.
So I said, okay, this is either going to be a really good day or a really bad day.
This is fate.
No, it was fate. And so when we won the World Cup, I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah, so I went the next day, had my the jersey on, right? And did the whole...
Sign your... What do? You sign a paper...
Yeah, they made me sign a paper, and then they said, okay, do you want to do the special act? Because it wasn't really... I was kind of hoping for a little bit more, you know, but they just asked me if I... my gosh, and I don't know how to say it in English. Okay, I'll tell you in Spanish, and then you can translate. Me preguntaron jurar mi lealtad al país y eso.
Yeah. So you swear your loyalty. You promise to be loyal to the country, your fealty to the country, yes.
Yes, but honestly, it was only a few minutes. So I was hoping for a little bit more, but that's okay. I got my video and it was good. And I'm excited.
Now it's me who's flattered. And I always share stories like this with my fellow Argentines, especially those who sometimes feel very disappointed with the situations this country put you through in terms of the economy. But there are lots of people that appreciate and value not the economic things of the country, maybe, but other things, to the point of becoming a citizen like Nicole just did. Well, this is amazing. We could talk for hours because this is so great. But before wrapping this up and inviting you to a next interview when you next return to your home country, I'd like to ask you what you're doing now, but back in the U.S. What's your occupation?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Nobody ever asks me this.
I make
my content. I don't make any money off of it. Honestly,
of course. You obviously have an occupation there.
Yes. No.
You send your kids to daycare, meaning that you have a job.
Yes. So I work in events, and so I do the organization and logistics of events.
What kind of events? Congresses? Conferences?
No. At this time, I am doing sort of, how would I describe it? They're like panel events.
Okay.
And so I work for, right now I work for a company, a newspaper, a political newspaper in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually called Politico.
I heard about it. Yeah, of
course. So I work there doing events.
Oh, so great. You organize. So what's your background?
My background is international relations. So...
Perfect. Bilingual, binational. Well, random question to wrap this up. What's best, Christmas in winter or Christmas in summer?
Oof. Oh, my God. Okay. I think they both have their magic, but now if I have to choose, I will have to go for Christmas in summer.
In summer? Yeah. I mean, wearing trunks by the pool?
Well, no, I just, you know what? I just really love the food. Like, I love, it's hot, you got vitel toné, no, lengua la vinegreta.
Yeah, typical, those are typical Christmas dishes, the ones that Nicolás described. But still, many people still have here very high caloric foods because they, I don't know, they took that from northern culture and they have like nuts and things that you shouldn't have with 30 degrees plus Celsius.
No, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's the magic of it, you know? And being with family, like, yeah, so.
Great. Well, that was Nicole Felter. You can check her content out mainly in Spanish on Instagram and TikTok, Yankee in Argentina. Well, thank you for coming, Nicole. All the best. And thank you for taking the time for coming to the studio.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me.
The next one, Mil Horas, 1,000 Hours. Why?
You know, I went to this Argentine festival in Virginia, and I saw there was this group that sang that song, and then me and my son, we fell in love with it. So
with the track, yeah.
So that's.
So you recently you didn't listen to the song while you were here.
No, you know, I didn't get into national rock until I moved to the U.S.
Typical Argentine. They start valuing tango when they move abroad, and they start valuing national rock when they go outside Argentina. Well, Nicole picked a huge classic of Argentine rock, Mil Horas, 1,000 Hours by Los Abuelos de la Nada. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks.
Hace frío y estoy lejos de casa. Hace tiempo que estoy sentado sobre esta piedra. Yo me pregunto, ¿para qué sirven las guerras? Tengo un cohete en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás estás tan blanca y yo no sé qué hacer. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1000 horas, como un perro. Y cuando llegaste me miraste y me dijiste: loco, estás mojado, ya no te quiero. En el circo vos ya sos una estrella, una estrella roja que todo se lo imagina. Si te preguntan, vos no me conocías. No, no, tengo un gol en el pantalón. Vos estás tan fría como la nieve a mi alrededor. Vos estás tan blanca que ya no sé qué hacer. Te esperé bajo la lluvia, no, no, no. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1000 horas, con un perro. Y cuando llegaste me miraste y me dijiste: loco, estás mojado, ya no te quiero. La otra noche te esperé bajo la lluvia 2 horas, 1000 horas, como un perro. Y cuando llegaste me miraste y me dijiste: loco, estás mojado, ya no te quiero.
RAI Argentina to the world.
RAI 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAI Argentina al mundo.
RAI Argentina al mundo.
RAI Argentinian in the world.
RAI Argentina al mundo.
And we bring you now the DX supplement of every week, that is put together by Arnaldo Sly, and we've got some interesting hearings that we'd like to share with you, starting with reports on Brazilian stations. It's a country that is very active on the shortwaves. First, we've got Radio Voz Missionaria from Camboriú, Santa Catarina State, on 5,940 kilohertz. Radio Nacional da Amazonia, Brasilia, the capital, 6,180 kilohertz on a parallel with 11,780 kilohertz. Next, Radio Voz Missionaria, again from Camboriú, 9,665 kilohertz on a parallel with 11,750 kilohertz. Next, Radio Novi de Julio, Radio 9th of July from São Paulo, on the frequency of 9,818.9 kilohertz. Next, Radio Brasil Central from Goiânia on 11,815 kilohertz. And then Radio Inconfidencia from Belo Horizonte in Minas Gerais on 15,190 kilohertz. Next, we've got stuff coming from the Sultanate of Oman. A one way to attempt verification of a station in that country is to pick up the relay broadcast of the BBC coming out of Al Sila, located within Oman itself. The BBC from Oman can be picked up on 12,095 kilohertz from 1900 hours UTC time, broadcasting in all Oromo language. Now, Spanish DXer Manuel Mendez reports the reception of two Ethiopian shortwave stations. One is the Voice of Amhara State, transmitting from the capital, Addis Ababa, in vernacular language on 6,090 kHz at 1735 UTC time. And the other is Radio Fana, also from Addis Ababa, logged at the same time on 6,110 kHz, also in local languages. These stations can be heard in the Rio de la Plata region from 0330 UTC time or from 0400 hours UTC time. On 9,960 kHz, Radio Vanuatu continues to be heard around 6:31 UTC time, providing a public messaging service in Bislama language. I repeat, Bislama language. This segment is not broadcast daily, but is highly interesting due to its content. From Thailand, the following frequencies are currently active: 7,475 kHz, Radio Thailand, from 1800 to 1930 UTC time in English, 250 kilowatts the power. On 9,385 kHz, we've got Radio Thailand between 12 and 1230 in English, 250 kilowatts of power. Next, 9,940 kHz, Radio Thailand in Chinese between 1230 and 1245, 250 kilowatts the power. And Radio Thailand in Malayalam between 1245 and 1300 hours, broadcast on 9,940 kilohertz with just 1 kilowatt of power. Next, Radio Thailand in Japanese with 250 kilowatts of power, broadcast on 9,940 kilohertz. Radio Thailand in Malayalam, yes, again, with 1 kilowatt of power, 9,940 kilohertz between 1315 and 1330. Radio Thailand in English between midnight and 29 minutes past midnight with 250 kilowatts. The frequency is 13,750 kilohertz. And finally, Radio Thailand in English between 0500 and 0530 UTC time on the frequency of 17,640 kilohertz with 250 kilowatts of power. All of these transmissions originate from the Udon Thani transmitter in Thailand. It is worth mentioning that on February 25, 2025, Thailand's radio broadcasting service celebrated its 95th anniversary. The humble beginnings of Thai broadcasting date back to 1928, when an experimental station was inaugurated in Bangkok. This station, under the Post and Telegraph Department, was located at the mouth of the Ong An Canal, one of the ring canals surrounding the old city. And that was the DX supplement of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, which is produced by Arnaldo Slain.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, Mie Xiang Shijie.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, Sekai ni mokete, Argentin.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Alfredo Zitarrosa was born. This is a very important Latin American musician and a symbol of Uruguayan music as well. He was born in the Uruguayan capital, Montevideo. He mainly played folk genres such as samba and milonga, very pampas, gaucho kind of music. He passed away in the year 1989. In order to mark this anniversary, the 89th anniversary of his passing, we're going to play one of his most famous songs, his signature tune actually, called Doña Soledad. This is a live rendition of it.
Doña Soledad. Doña Soledad, póngase un poco a pensar. Doña Soledad, ¿Cuántas personas habrá que la conozcan de verdad? Yo la vi en el almacén peleando por un bistec. Doña Soledad, y otros dicen haga el bien, hágalo sin mirar a quién. ¿Cuánto bienes tendrá sin la generosidad? Doña Soledad, con lo que pueda comprar el pan y el vino nada más. La carne y la sangre son de propiedad del patrón. Doña Soledad, cuando Cristo dijo no, usted sabe bien lo que pasó. Doña Soledad, yo le converso de más. Doña Soledad, y usted para conversar hubiera querido estudiar. Cierto que quiso querer, pero no pudo poder. Doña Soledad, porque antes de ser mujer ya tuvo que ir a trabajar. Mire, Doña Soledad, póngase un poco a pensar. Doña Soledad, ¿qué es lo que quieren decir con eso de la libertad? Usted se puede morir, eso es cuestión de salud. Pero no quiera saber lo que le cuesta un ataúd. Doña Soledad, hay que trabajar, pero hay que pensar, no se vaya a morir, la van a enterrar. Doña Soledad, hay que trabajar, pero hay que pensar, Doña Soledad.
And let's go over the headlines before signing off. 16 confirmed dead in Bahia Blanca floods. Massive rallies across Argentina for International Women's Day. Mark Carney is Canada's new prime minister. Brazil's President Lula da Silva considers measures to curb food price rises. Sports. River Plate beats Atlético Tucumán in the first division tournament of Argentine football. And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. Our sound technician was Walter Danesi and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. We hope you enjoyed today's program. Thank you very much for listening. Join us tomorrow, Tuesday, for a new program of RAE in English. Ciao. Hasta mañana.